The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Sean Sayre here with you on a Friday morning. Yes, Friday, June 28th is the date, and a nice morning to wake up to, kind of a crisp morning, sunny morning out there. Only highs right now in the low 50s. That'll change throughout the day, but it does sound like a nice day. Hearing some thunderstorms coming tomorrow, and then a couple of nice days in the early part of next week. Forecast is still a little foggy when it comes to 4th of July, and we're looking forward to that. Maybe it could be hot and humid is what I'm hearing there, so we'll see if you've got some plans for 4th of July. We certainly do here at Pittsfield Community TV, and just to let you know that the live coverage of the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade will be on PCTV, Access Pittsfield Channel 1301, PCTV Select, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. You know what you're going to find there, music, classic cars, antique fire trucks, all kinds of stuff in the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade. Just a wonderful annual event that we have here, and just to let you know, the support for the broadcast of that program comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union and the Berkshire Museum, and then also our friends over at Berkshire United Way and Berkshire Bank. So thank you very much for that support. It helps keep the broadcast on the air and make sure that people all over can watch and enjoy the parade, even if they can't make it down there. So let's go to the weather forecast, and we have a great show for you today. Ripped from today's headlines in the Berkshire Eagle, we have Earl Persip with us. He is the chair of the Wacona Park Restoration Committee and, of course, a Pittsfield City Councilor at large here. We're going to talk about yesterday's meeting of the Restoration Committee and what might be moving forward with Wacona Park. Big news. We'll be talking about that in just a moment. Here's the weather forecast first.
Weather. WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. South wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Yeah, I'm thinking you're going to want to mow your lawn either today or Sunday. It looks like you'd be dodging some raindrops on Saturday, one way or the other. So if your lawn needs it, maybe it doesn't. All right. Welcome back to the show. Morning Drive, 89.7 WTBR-FM. And in the studio, Earl Persip. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Good. No worse for the wear, as they say.
Yep,
and there is right. A little bit of wear going on. we had a big meeting last night. And that was, it's been a while since there was a Wacona Park Restoration Committee. So I know a lot of people in the community have been wondering what's been going on. Give us an update of, sort of where we are at now compared to the last time people got an update on Wacona Park.
So last time we were, we had made some design changes, and we estimated those cost savings in those design changes.
Mm-hmm.
It went to Skanska, and they actually put the actual numbers to those design changes and actually got more detailed pricing.
So Skanska, again, is the
project manager.
Okay.
They do all the pricing on the design from SK. They did Deconic High School.
Mm-hmm.
They do everything, every big project within forever.
Yep. So you made some design changes with the concept of maybe shaving off some money here and there, right? Finding savings.
So when we first did this, it was everything we wanted, right? It was the big dream of everything. And then when that price tag came in at $30 million, we wanted to try to cut some things back without affecting programming.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, a lot of it was just design changing, taking out a lot of concrete that wasn't necessarily important to the stadium or change kind of how we operate the stadium, or, you know, it was just more of a visual things. So that was a lot of the deduction, was just taking about, we took about 9,600 square feet off of that, original design. So that's where a lot of that was.
So 9,600 square feet is a smaller footprint, essentially?
Yeah, smaller footprint, smaller footings. You know, we deducted a lot of, like, just smaller things. A lot of the bathroom code had changed in between there in our favor.
That's good. You know, in other words, fewer bathrooms are required?
Correct. Yeah, I think when we first were doing this, the bathroom code required, like, just an amazing amount of bathrooms compared to what we had there and what we have in other places. It's pretty funny.
Kind of reminds me of the requirements that you have when you are permitting a new building of some kind, and they say, well, you need 250 parking spaces. And you say, how am I going to have 250 cars? That's never going to happen.
Yeah. But
that's the requirement.
Yeah, you have to have it. We went through that process, and so it was a little time in between the last two meetings because they were doing their work of actually getting hard numbers on pricing of kind of the conceptual design we had. And also in that time, we were dealing with some Mass Historic issues. But so there was a lot going on behind the scenes. Necessarily wasn't a need for a meeting until Skanska was done with their portion of it.
Can't really decide on anything until you have some hard numbers, essentially.
Correct. We were assuming what the cost savings were. Last night we found out they were less than we anticipated, just because a lot of things happened. Perfect example, aluminum went up 30% in the last, like, 3 to 4 months. So the bleacher stands and the, you know, estimated the cost was up over $780,000 there.
Wow.
So, you know.
And so that can kind of change, too. You know, you could estimate that another 3 or 4 months from now, and it could be different again.
Correct. Right? Yeah. And then the timeline changed. And so the timeline of construction, basically every year you wait, you're adding $1 million+ just on inflation and things that cost more. And then, you know, as the economy goes, those pricing numbers go. Ever since COVID, I mean, Skanska used a perfect example of Deconic being built at like $500 a square foot, and Greylock is being built, the new Greylock school up in Williamstown is being built at like over $900 a square foot.
Wow.
And we're only, I think it was only 4 or 5 years difference.
Yeah.
So, you know, those things come into play. And then I think we've seen it here in Pittsfield when we did the wastewater treatment plant. If we had done it originally when we knew it was time, we would have probably saved ourselves a good chunk of change. So if you kick the can down the road on these things, you're going to end up, you know, construction in my lifetime, and I'm sure in yours, has never gone down.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the need for it.
Yeah.
You know, either. And so I think that we experienced such a period of flat inflation and flat growth for, you know, a decade or more that a lot of people got used to that.
Mm-hmm.
They just said, well, the prices are always going to be the same.
Yep.
We can build it today. We can build it tomorrow, 5 years from now. It doesn't matter. It'll all be the same. And now suddenly those facts on the ground have changed, right?
Yeah,
You're fighting against the inflation factor. And it's funny. I saw a comment online to talk about the total cost of Wacona Park as proposed. And I don't want to bury the lead here, because the lead is you took action last night at the committee, right?
You know, we were always on this path of the real next step is to get construction documents, is to move on to that design phase of the final construction documents. And we are going to recommend the city move forward with doing that. That was always the goal. You know, we have some money committed. We are not all there. But the important thing is, and especially, you know, it was brought up last night, if you're shovel ready, grant programs are more eager to give you money and things like that. So we want to be shovel ready when the money is here and the project's ready to go. So we're moving on to that next design phase. And we can cut costs there, too. You know, it's about the material. Now the next step will be the materials we pick. And, you know, last night we had discussed, like, maybe we change, you know, the frontage of the windows and how they're designed could save you $100,000 here, and that doesn't really take away from the look. We talked about taking some of the brick facade away, but that does change away from the look. Is that savings worth it? So we're going to go into that process as long as the city agrees to do that. And I think the administration is on board with moving forward. We have the grant money for that. It's not coming from the taxpayer. So let's use that money, because if we don't use it for this, we don't get to use it for something else.
And what you're talking about there is the federal grant money that was brought as an amendment or some kind
of... Yeah, as an earmark from the feds.
From Congressman Neal.
Yep, and which was great, and it really helped us even get to this point, because without that money, we wouldn't be here, or being able to get construction documents ready.
Right.
You know, that's a big time eater there too. So why would we, I don't want to sit on my hands and wait, and then we raise the money and then we have to wait another 6 to 8 months because we weren't designing while we were waiting.
Right.
So I think you can do two things at once. I think it's important to do those things.
Well, in the $28 million figure. So that's the thing that we're sort of hanging our hat on right now, right? It's kind of a moving target, but that's what we're looking at today.
And some of that is like what we're doing now. So the construction cost is about $23 million. And then there's soft cost after that, and contingencies and things like that. But
some of the soft costs are
design, and like that. Permitting, all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And some of that we are doing now. So, I think we're around 18 to 20 million. I think around eight. I think the administration has said they would consider a borrowing for 15, and we'd have to find the rest. So that's what we're doing now. I think we're about $8 to $10 million short there. There was some conversation last night about what money was used when and where. So we had some money in the bank. So we're working on all that stuff. But I think the next step is the biggest thing we talked about last night was we took a vote to move forward and getting the construction documents ready and actually picking, material and really getting into the nitty gritty of the design. I think we have the major design, the concept ready. That's already done. So
it needs to be wrapped up to a point where approval from the mayor can come forward, right? So you've got another month or so before that happens.
So when we were first tasked this, we were tasked to give a report. I think it was a long time ago at this point. Feels like a long time ago. And it was like 90 days at that time. Then we realized, wait a minute, this is not a 90-day thing. We're going to actually do the work and actually be ready to build the stadium when it's time. So our new requirement is to have something recommended to the mayor by December 31st, I believe it was.
Okay.
We're going to have that way before because we want to move on to the next step. And that's the design. That's the construction document phase of the thing. So.
It does seem like, not an easy task, a lot of moving parts, less of which was a historical designation on the park itself, right? And that's been a bit of a roadblock or something to work around. I'm sure when the historical designation was placed on the park, it was all very with good intentions, right? To say this is a historic place.
And if you read the
document. And it is a historic place. I mean, it's reasonable to say that. It's just that when you put a historical designation on something, it comes with all kinds of other problems, right?
Yeah.
For something like this.
The grandstand is not historical. It's not historic, but it's not a historic landmark, and that's the stadium itself. And if you ever read the documents, when I think it was Mayor Wachowski at the time wrote the document, it's a love letter to Wakona Park, not the building, but the park itself.
Okay.
And it kind of describes the history that's happened at the park. And I necessarily don't think the grandstand built in the 50s is an historic building. I work at a historic home in Lenox, so I'm one to appreciate keeping historic buildings and historic places, but the grandstand is not the historic aspect of this. So we had to go to Mass Historic to have approval to basically build new. The refurbished design was going to cost more.
And refurbished would basically still take the existing grandstand down, I would imagine,
does.
And then rebuild it in place with new materials?
Newer materials. It didn't take the grandstands out of the floodplain like the new project will. It was there was no benefit, especially for a grandstand that was built in the 50s. This wasn't built in the early 1901s or 1902s. And I mean, it was built in the 50s where construction, they, you know, they put steel into wetlands, right? And that's where we, that's where we land now, is because it wasn't thought out properly. And, you know, so.
And it's interesting, too. One of the other things I saw from the results from yesterday were something about pilings. And so maybe you could teach us about pilings.
So the, basically the footings of the whole project, we thought originally we could reuse a lot of the pilings we have now.
And these are just the really deep footings, right, that go down that go into the ground to keep, keep the structure stable.
Correct. So we thought 100, I think the first number was 130, right, we were going to need for this, the project.
Okay.
We found out last night it's 265 because they found, you know, in that time frame of the two meetings, you know, we, when we were looking into actually solid numbers, they found out the soil was not as good as they thought it was going to be.
So they took tests, drillings or borings or whatever.
They took tests, figured out the soil next to the Housatonic wasn't as good as they hoped it would be or thought they would be. So that required a lot more footings. So, you know, that wasn't
a different kind of footing, too.
Correct. A helix footing, which is not like their wood now. The new design is just more of a, I don't know how to even describe it. But basically, it's a footing that's more lighter, more secure. And if you're going to use some of that footing versus a wood footing, you might as well do it all because you're doing two different companies, two different ways they do it.
And from what I saw, the construction in that entire area, including some buildings that Berkshire Medical Center has put up, for example.
Yeah, and that's the benefit.
Have all experienced that same issue in that soil.
Yeah, so that's the benefit of using Skanska because they do every big project, and they're doing a project for Berkshire Medical Center now, and they had the same problem up the street.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how we know, you know, we picked the right firm there. You know, they're just doing everything. So that's another, you know, roadblock we came into. Not the biggest deal, but something that changed. And when we get into the design phase, we might, or I shouldn't say design phase, the construction document phase, with a little more detail, we might be able to change a few of those, eliminate a few of those. We talked about lightening the building with taking some of the brick facade on the sides off. And those are the things we'll decide as we move forward, hopefully, with that part of it.
Yeah. And then back to the historical designation for a moment. This is a state historical designation. Does it involve the feds as
So it does. So at first, the state has to say yes or no. They said no. I think their automatic answer is no. Right away. And then you have to do the appeal process. And so then when the appeal process comes, it's got to go to National Trust in D.C. They have to comment if they have a concern or not a concern. It has to go get comment from if the Indian reservations have a comment of the historic designation and if there's an issue there. So neither one of those places commented. So that's a good thing for us.
Okay.
That means they have no issue with us making the changes to the new building. So it comes back to the city, and the city has to write a letter to Mass Historic basically explaining what we're going to do to make up the historic aspect of the stadium. And we had talked about this from the beginning. We, you know, we were going to do some sort of Hall of Fame, some sort of area in the stadium that talked about the history of Wauconda Park and make a museum section of the park and really display the history that's happened there and things that, you know, what's taking place there, just talks about the whole Wauconda Park history. So that was important to us from the beginning. We had already discussed that. So now we're a little less than 30 days of getting a response from them. We did have to hire a consultant to walk us through all this because it was new to us, and this kind of design.
And specifically for Mass Historic, what did they say no to? What did they not like about the idea of rebuilding?
I can't speak for them, but I work in a historic house, and I will tell you right now, they don't, from what of my experience dealing with them is they don't like, I think a lot of people go with them with new construction instead of renovating or restoring. And a lot of places should restore. I mean, there's things that we should have kept, and this isn't just not one of those things. Mm-hmm. I just think because of the historic designation, when it was actually built, how it was built, and, you know, I think we had a good argument. It didn't make me happy that we had to go through the extra hoops just because their automatic answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
I think if somebody would have actually looked at the project and actually understood it, they would have, it would have made sense to them. But I think they get a lot of those. So I think the automatic, there's kind of a process they have to follow, and they do automatically, and they make people jump through hoops for good reason. It's for very good reason. It's, but
you would think that they would be looking for the historic character of what preserves that property and that park, for example, and say, okay, is this project staying true to that historic character or not? That,
yeah,
but I don't work.
And
there,
I think this is a rare. I think this is one of those rare things where you have a building that was built in the 50s with a historic designation. You usually wouldn't have that. It was very rare to have something like so new-ish, kind of, right, in their world, to have this designation, but not really have. You know, I think you would call a park's a unique designation for them. I would guarantee it. I think a building, you know, historic, something historic place where something happened, you know, the Mount's the perfect example. You know, it's clearly we have buildings. We have, you know, it was Edith Wharton's home. There's clearly a historic thing.
Right.
So when we're dealing, when I'm dealing with them at my day job, it's a little different. Yeah. We're all on the same page about restoring versus rebuilding new stuff, right?
And I would think they'd be looking at a historic house like that, for example, and saying, okay, you have to use materials when you're fixing something, right, that are similar to the materials they would have used then. You have to use techniques that were the same. All that kind of stuff, which makes total sense.
We did a building 2 years ago, two summers ago, and we had to replace some marble steps, and we had to really make the markings on the marble step match the old markings. Mm. And we had to hire a consultant to do that, you know, to give us a consultation. That same building had shutters on it from the 1980s. They were pine. They were put up cheap Home Depot shutters. They wanted us to restore those originally.
To what they would have been in the 1800s, maybe?
Retake those pine shutters from the 80s and pay someone to sand them down, get all the paint up, redo those instead of having someone make authentic, I think they're oak shutters that would have been matched more historically than these were.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to prove why. And the biggest thing was the cost. It would have cost us more to restore those old cheap pine shutters than to build really nice new shutters. And it was a process. It took us, I think, 3 or 4 months to get that approval, but we got the approval finally. But those are the kind of things that, you know, they're very particular about a lot of things, and their first request is always restore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes you just have to, they want an explanation and they want documentation. And I will go back to this again. For good reason.
Yeah.
Like, we've torn down a lot of things we shouldn't have, and you know, we regret a lot of that now.
Yeah.
So
we were just having a conversation about that on this show recently, where, you know, we talk about the things that we've lost, urban renewal, for example, the kinds of decimation that we've seen both in Pittsfield, North Adams, and all over really the country during that time period, where the goal was to renew, right?
Yeah.
Wipe everything out and start new because modern is better.
Yeah.
That
and
was really
and
the
move
theory.
Tons of people fast and move people around as fast as possible instead of, you know, safer. You know, that was a time.
That was the mindset.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I think we know better now. And so I think Mass Historic they always side on the side of caution, right? They're always They always do that. So yep.
We're speaking with Earl Persip. He is a Pittsfield City Councilor at large and also the chair of the Wacona Park Restoration Committee, which just met last night at City Hall and had some big news today. If you read the front page of the Berkshire Eagle, you'll find some more details about it. But why do that? Because, you know, you've got everything right here. You're listening to the source of the news this morning on Morning Drive 89.7 WTBR FM. Yeah, the inflation cost is definitely sort of hanging over everything, right? Because there is an urgency, and I think there's always been an urgency to get this done. Not the least of which concerns were the fact that we have and had a very good team playing at Wacona Park, the Pittsfield Suns, who opted to pause their season this year because how can they play there, right? And so. Going forward, you're also, I'm assuming, looking at what can attract and keep a team at Wacona Park.
Yeah, I mean, the team has to be able to do operations. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were at the point where they weren't even using one of the concession stands. It was unusable. Mm. They weren't using the grandstands. They were, you know, it just wasn't. When you went there, you had the nostalgia, but it just wasn't the right feeling. Mm-hmm. It just didn't feel like, you know, I went to some games the last year before the Suns left. It just doesn't feel like Wacona Park, you know.
Yeah.
To me, anyway, it was run down. It was, you know, I understand why they didn't want to play. I'm disappointed they didn't. Pittsfield without baseball is weird to me.
Yeah, right. It's an odd year this year. Not having that activity.
Yeah, and we're trying to do some activities down there, but I think if we let this slip by, A, it's not going to get cheaper, and B, it's going to be one of those things we're going to regret. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to close that down. It's going to sit there. It's going to fall into the swamp, and it will never be built again. And which we said, the birthplace of baseball, won't have a baseball team. That's odd for me. And,
right.
And you know, we're going to do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
And again, we think about the historical designation and let's say that for whatever reason, it can't be done. And what then, right? So you have a historical designation on a place that can't host a baseball game, right? You're going to take down the grandstand. You're going to level everything.
Yeah.
And then what? You don't have anything historic.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing going on there. So that doesn't make sense to me. I know some people are, you know, who don't want to see anything happen because it might raise their tax bill or, you know, they're against kind of all those things because their families are gone. You know, they raise their kids here. Well, I have a young family and I know young people. And there's still young families here. And there's still people that want to experience and do things within their own city, right? Right. We have great things around us, yes, but Pittsfield offers great things, and we want to make sure we continue to do that and options and give people things to do.
Yep. One of the options you had mentioned that the committee decided against was to rebuild the existing grandstand. Some other options you looked at early on, but sort of, again, discarded, were the idea of building this new ballpark somewhere else. That it would be, you know, let's say on the William Stanley Business Park property or up at Springside Park, or, you know, a lot of ideas were sort of tossed around.
Yeah.
And those were sort of rejected. Does it still make sense to make it at Wacona Park
where it is? Yeah, I think we are saving some money using some of the old footings. I think Wacona Park is on Wacona Street. Springside Park, I mean, we have trouble building we tried to build a dog park and people were against that. Never mind a stadium. The pickleball courts that ended up happening at Springside Park, there was some backlash there. Mm-hmm. Springside Park should remain untouched the way we're thinking of with a stadium. Let's get that out of there. William Stanley Business Park, well, it's a business park. Why should we try to put business there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think. Some, and a lot of people will disagree with, like, just move it, and it's not that easy just to move it, and I don't think that saves us any money, to be honest.
Well, that would be the big question, right, is if you were to make a big move like that, you would want some return. You'd have to say, well, it cost us half as much.
Yeah.
And that isn't going to happen either.
This is a good price. I mean, we have talked to experts, and people have built stadiums similar size for a lot more money, and if you really think about cost of it and how things are going, $23 million in construction costs. is not a bad price for what we're doing. But it's still $23 million,
yeah,
right? It's right. It's hard to say. It's not a bad cost, but $23 million.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Wakona Park on Wakona Street makes sense, you know. And some people disagree. Mm-hmm. Some people definitely disagree. And we listened and we looked at everything. We looked at rotating the park at Wakona Park, if you remember early on. We talked to get rid of the sun delay, and the community was very adamant about, we need the sun delay. The sun delay makes us unique, and it's what we're known for. Mm-hmm. And so those conversations stopped very quickly. I thought when we first started talking, I thought there'd be a lot of people like, yeah, well, this makes sense to turn the stadium. Mm-hmm. No, it was complete opposite. There was not many people that said turn the stadium. Most people were like, keep the sun delay.
Right. And was that surprising to you that you had that much opposition?
Yes,
to that?
I was very surprised. It was, you know, people, one of the community meetings, we came, bunch of sun shirts, you know, everybody was very adamant. So that's why we did the community meetings. We wanted to understand what was important to everybody. We think we did that. I know people out there will read this one article and not understand this has been over a year process, and where there was community meetings, and you know, we thought of everything. I don't think I see on Facebook and social media, every comment that's out there was talked about on air. All right.
Maybe they're just catching up to the process now.
They are. You know, trust me, the committee is dedicated to doing what they think is best for the park, and this is residents of Pittsfield, and I haven't heard anything new that we haven't talked about or brought up and discussed. I mean, we've done our due diligence of like what could possibly be there. We've met with interested parties who wanted to do hockey there, a frozen hockey tournament there. We have gone through a lot, and we think we have a good grasp of what people want and are expecting from the stadium.
Right. We're speaking again with Earl Persip this morning, and we're reaching that top of the hour break that we always take. So we'll do that and come back and talk more with City Councilor and Chair of the Wakona Park Restoration Committee here in just a moment on Morning Drive, and talk about other city priorities as well. Lots of things, a lot of balls in the air, if you will, going on right now. So we'll do that. And so stick around. We'll be right back after this short break. You're listening to Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR. FM.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Now, there is one final message for you to transmit to Earth. It is the most important message you have ever sent. I want you to keep repeating it as many times as possible.
89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union. Proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal. Opportunity grows here. With locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from Evco Hypnosis. Want to lose weight, quit smoking, sleep better, or relieve stress and anxiety? Evco Hypnosis is here to help you become happier, healthier, and stronger. Call 413-212-0283 or go to evcohypnosis.com. That's EVCOhypnosis.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl, CDs, and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR-FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. If you're an impulse shopper, practice the two-day rule. Instead of making that impulse buy when you first see it, leave it on the shelf. In 2 days, if you still need it, then consider going back to buy it. This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Hey water lovers, this is Leslie Gabriel, your water ambassador, host of And So It Flows. Our water music and water culture brings water outside the cup. Moisten your ears every Tuesday at 2 p.m. here at WTBR 89.7 FM. Love your water.
in the abundance of water, the fool will get thirsty.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sondrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. Glad to have you with us today. It's Friday, June 28th, and a nice, bright, sunny day out there as well. Earl Persip is my guest this morning. He is the chair of the Wacona Park Restoration Committee and, of course, Pittsfield City Councilor at large, talking about last night's meeting of the committee where a major step was taken to make a recommendation on the current plans for the park and what's going to happen next. That's what we're talking about this morning. So we'll get to that again in just a moment. We'll do the weather in just a moment as well. And I just wanted to remind people that the live coverage of the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade will be on PCTV Access Pittsfield Channel 1301. It will be on PCTV Select and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. That's next Thursday already. You know the drill there, music and classic cars and antique fire trucks and all kinds of wonderful stuff at the Pittsfield 4th of July Parade. We're all looking forward to that. For the broadcast of that program, to get that on PCTV, we'd like to thank support coming from Greylock Federal Credit Union and from the Berkshire Museum and also our friends at Berkshire Community College and Be Fair. They are helping support that broadcast. It's a big broadcast, I'll tell you. It's the biggest thing that PCTV and WTBR do in any particular year. We've been gearing up for it for weeks, and we really enjoy doing it. But it is a really an enormous production. And it's the oldest production, actually, that PCTV has ever done. The very first production of any kind that PCTV was involved with was a 4th of July parade. A little tidbit for you there. So we definitely enjoy it. We enjoy bringing it to you, and we thank our sponsors for helping us do that. All right, let's go to the weather forecast and see what we have in store for us coming up from the National Weather Service.
Berkshire Weather.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, sunny. Highs in the mid-70s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-50s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy. A chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 70s. South wind 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 30 miles per hour. Chance of rain 40%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Not bad. Not a bad day today. Tomorrow a little wetter, it sounds like, and then a couple of nice days early next week is the other thing I was hearing. So we like that. We like the early summertime. We don't like those hot mid-90s, high 90s. Oh, my goodness. Last week was just brutal, wasn't it, to be outside? I mean, you couldn't even really be out for more than a few minutes at a time, and you're just huffing and puffing. At least that's the way I was.
Yeah, it's wild. The weather can't decide what season it wants to be in, but
it's odd when you get it in June. I think everyone expects some heat waves in July and August, and you get something in June, you're like, oh boy, we're in for it.
And when you get something and it was 65 the week before, 92, 95 is a big change.
Yeah, your blood hasn't thinned out enough yet. It's like the people that go to Florida and then come back, It's like, you have to, your body has to adjust to that stuff. So Earl Persip is here. Thanks again for being here today, the day after a big meeting for the Wacona Park Restoration Committee. And a long process, something that has, if people are just sort of tuning into the idea of what's going on at Wacona Park or what's not going on at Wacona Park and just figuring it out, this committee has been meeting for what? It's been more than a year now, right?
Over a year. It's been a year and a half now at this point, even. I'm trying to think, maybe even 2 years in this coming fall. We've been doing the work and this stuff doesn't, government doesn't move fast just in general, and construction design and things of those kind of, they don't move fast either, depending on, especially when you don't have all the money.
That's
right.
Sure.
But yeah, this was like, this is a community design, and we wanted to make sure the first part of this was getting community input and understanding what the community wanted. Mm-hmm. If the community wants this, and if they do want this, what are the things they want to see? Because this is going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity for Pittsfield and the people that live, the residents here now, and their children. So, not too many stadiums get built too often. So we want to make sure we got it right, but we're still being responsible to the people that pay the tax bill.
You're basically being charged at this time with getting something done or making a decision on whether something should be done. And that's, you have to have all the facts that you can, and public input, obviously very important as well, because it will be the public for generations who will use this park, right? And find enjoyment there. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, I think like even the 4th of July, we're having, the Babe Ruth teams playing. There's some baseball going on. But I remember as a kid, like when you got to play that game at Wacona Park, it was something special.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even with the even with the fields, some of the new fields around the BCC and Deconic and things like that, Wacona Park is still a special place to play a game underneath the lights in the daytime. Yep. I mean, look at the crowd we had at the state championship when Deconic, when it was played here. I've never seen that place was packed, right? So the community supports those kind of things. It's just getting something we're going to be proud of and able to use for many years ahead, and building it the right way, so we're not back here in another 50 years talking about the water issues and the stadium being in a swamp. Yep. So,
and there's a greater chance of it being rebuilt with the kind of plans that have been put in place now, where you could do multiple other things there. You mentioned high school baseball.
Yeah,
there hasn't really been a lot of that played there, surprisingly. Some, when it does, it's special. But you could imagine more of that happening if the field was right, if the all the facilities were good and in place.
Yeah, so I think facilities is one thing. We were tasked to do the building, but as we were doing this, we dove in and found out what the water issues are on the field, and we found out it's a pretty easy fix to fix the grass field to get it to drain better. Or we may go turf bet in the future. That conversation's kind of stalled because we're focusing on the building that can't be used. So can't use the field if no one can be in there watching it, right?
But I remember something about there being some very hard clay or something like that that's like, under there right now.
Like just over a foot in there is about silky kind of clay kind of thing. It's not letting the water penetrate, so it's just sitting on top.
Makes sense.
So that could be addressed, but in this process we found that out. We did the testing for all that. We understand everything with the stadium. We understand how the parking lot flows. We understand there needs to be a culvert because all the water runoff from the neighborhoods above Wacona Park. We found all those things out during this process, and we understand how the water is. Are we going to be completely, the stadium and all the facilities will be out of the floodplain? But will the parking lot flood every 10 to 20 year storm? Yes. Will we fix the 2 to 5 year storm? Yes. So, we understand we're still next to the Housatonic and there's still going to be some things, but we also understand we can make some things happen and clean some things up and really eliminate a lot of the everyday flooding that we always see at Wacona Park.
And the city street drainage issue came up as well, and that's something, sounds like that needs to be repaired no matter what happens.
Happens, that's eventually going to have to be done. So it would be great if Wacona Park happens and we do that in tandem, because we can save money, we can share cost in that. I think, it makes sense. And the commissioner and the administration are very aware of when we're doing one project and we're going to tear something up, let's do that other project that has, don't tear things up twice.
Right.
So I don't see that being an issue if we're going to end up doing Wacona Park. And I would assume that we would address that drainage issue through the city at that.
Makes sense.
At a small cost compared to the project that has to be done.
Yep.
And it's cheaper. if it's involved with the Wacona Park project. If the city just did it alone, it'd be double.
Mm. So. Yeah, yep. That's a big savings there if it can be done at the same time.
Yep.
How was the input from the Pittsfield Suns in this process? Because obviously they're a team. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the only team ever to play at Wacona Park. The history of the park has shown many, many different minor league and collegiate league teams that have played there and come through. So we don't know that the Suns will be there forever. And obviously, they're a great organization. They've been very supportive of Pittsfield. But what was their input like, and what did they want to see from the park to say, hey, this would help us stay here and be to thrive and to keep a team, you know, playing in Pittsfield?
So originally when we did this, you know, the Suns, we kept saying the Suns, and I didn't want to do that. I wanted to, this is not the Suns stadium. I wanted to be clear. This is the residence. This is Pittsfield Stadium.
Yep.
We love the Suns. They were a good, you know, they were a good tenant, and they continue to be a good tenant.
Yep.
But I didn't want to design the stadium around necessarily their needs. Mm. It was the community needs. But we did want input from professionals.
Right. And their needs might be the needs of future teams.
The Goldklings have a lot of experience building stadiums, a lot of experience of what teams are looking for, what, you know, different levels of baseball are looking for. So they gave us a list of suggestions, right? Very detailed. Kind of things in it, you know, last night one of the examples was, if you're going to go to the next level of baseball, there needs to be a separate walkout for the players to get to the dugout without walking through fans and having fan interaction.
Okay.
So that was one of their suggestions.
Just kind of like a common thing that they would require.
Yep, you know, common thing depending on the league, but a lot of leagues require that. And so, you know, S3, took that into consideration, and they came up with a way to do that if that was necessary. You know, there was little things. Some things were very helpful. Some things we had thought of, and some things we've never thought of, right? Yeah. And so it was good to get their input. They were the tenants. They know the biggest issues there. But they also own other organizations. They've built stadiums. So it was good to get their input and understand the needs and kind of wants they would need.
And right? You've walked through the facilities. You've seen the locker room conditions, right? If you could even call it that.
I wouldn't call it a locker room. I mean, that's making it sound very nice.
Yeah. But then there was also the thought that there might be an athletic training room of some kind there, right?
Yeah, and it was, you know, there was thoughts of a, you know, a female's locker room, and that was never thought of, and offices and training rooms and showers for coach. You know, there was a lot of things, a locker room for the umpires. You know, all those things were discussed. And
Press box. I'll say that only because I've been in the Wacona Park press box
many times. You sent me a message, and I delivered that message very quickly because it was something we had at that time we had not talked about or thought about. And so, you know, those are the things. You know, that's why we did the community meetings, and we were not going to think of everything, right? And then we wanted input from everybody, and we thought we were thinking of everything, but guess what? No one, until your message came about, you know, where cameras go, how a broadcast happens there,
right?
It was never thought of,
right?
And it was.
And again, it might not be PCTV. It might be a visiting TV truck coming in to do something for ESPN, which has happened at Wacona Park.
And you're just giving us information. Like, you're not requiring anything.
Nope.
You're a community member who wants to see this, you know, to see the best design come out. And we've got that from a lot of people. And I'm always willing to listen. And I think other committee members are. And, you know, I think we have a good group of committee members where they're in the community. They see a lot of people. And they hear a lot of input, so I think that's important.
Well, there has been no shortage of that. There's been a lot of opinions, and they continue to flow in, as we see from social media, which is good, I guess, because you do have the engagement. You have the people's minds on the issue, which is great.
Yeah, I think sometimes social media and talking about anything can get negative or positive, and people kind of – people say the darndest things under a picture of themselves in their name. It's surprising to me some of the things that are said. But, you know, it's good to – that's a good source of, you know, input. Some people hear only things from social media or – So we did things on social media too. We did surveys and things like that on social media.
Got pretty good feedback on the survey as well, if I remember.
Best survey response the city's ever had on anything.
Yeah.
So
yeah, pretty good. So put on the city councilor hat for a moment. Okay. And so we're talking about Wacona Park here with Earl Persip, a city councilor at large and the chair of the Wacona Park Restoration Committee. Lots of competing priorities in the city right now. Obviously, we just got through a big budget process. Mm-hmm. Not terribly contentious, but there were a few areas that of contention in different departments, school department especially. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're looking out for the ultimately the taxpayers and the bills that they're paying, the water and sewer bills, for example, trying to put a cap on that, trying to give people some more expectation of what they might pay in an increase year to year from all these things. And then we start talking about Wacona Park and rebuilding and taking on debt to build that. And, of course, we're also talking about potentially a new school building that's happening at Crosby and bringing two schools together into a larger campus. All great ideas, right? A police station is another really big need. If anyone's ever seen the existing police station, we need a new police station. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So kind of put these priorities, in the horizon for us and say, where are these things? What's the highest priority for you and for building these new projects for the city? Where does it fit?
It's important to understand all these things aren't happening at once.
Right.
First of all, they might be talked about once. There's a lot of, as we can see, Wacona Park, we're the only project that is even at this point. Mm-hmm. So we're 2 years in already.
This far down the design stage, essentially.
We're 2 years in. This is,
With funding to make part of some of that work.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So, think about that. Just because we're talking about things now and, priorities change throughout the years. So I wouldn't put one project over the other. We have to be able to chew gum and walk at the same time. Yes, there are competing projects. We take all those things into consideration, but we still need to make Pittsfield a place where people want to visit, people want to live, people want to expend their extracurricular activities here. They want to go to museums. They want to go to dinner. They want to go to a baseball game.
And to attract people from outside the city to here to spend their money here as well.
And some of the big employers will tell you they struggle with housing. And they struggle with getting young people to stay here because of the lack of things to do at times. Mm-hmm. And we have the beautiful lakes and we have hiking and we have beautiful things. But we need to have a variety of things. Mm-hmm. I bring it up. I have a young family. I want to be able to bring my kids to a Wacona Park game, just like a lot of people at home did. Mm-hmm.
Well, it seems like every city has those challenges in a way. And I think of the when the ladies college basketball playoffs were over in Albany and announcer and former player Rebecca Lobo made an offhand comment and said, well, good luck finding something to do in Albany at night. Right. That was a big scandal at the time. It was like, I can't believe she said that about Albany. And we're here in Pittsfield, right? We're
thinking, so if you compare Pittsfield to Albany, there's a lot of things to do in Albany. You compare Albany to Miami, there's nothing to do in Albany, right? Like, it's just all what do you consider? But we have a great community. There's great things to do here. But we do need more, I think. We can't be the birthplace of baseball and not have a stadium or a baseball team. I think... as a young person with a young family, I want, like I said, I want to bring my kids to Wacona Park. I think it's important.
So these things are not mutually exclusive, is what
you're saying. No, and I don't think one's important to the other. Yeah, I think
we could build Wacona Park.
And we can build a police station. Mm-hmm. It's how those things get funded, and we're not asking the taxpayer to fund this whole bill.
They come from different pockets.
Correct. And it's not, and this is, we borrow for things all the time. This is how the city's run for forever, right? Yeah. And it's over how many years? 30 years, 20 years, $15 million spread out over 20 to 30 years, spread out over 18,000 households
And really the only thing on the books right now for the big buildings that the city has taken on is probably Taconic High School.
Yeah.
There were a bunch of schools that were done in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that debt service
they
is
all
long.
Just came off recently.
So they're retired.
I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. They're off off that.
And so I would imagine financially you want to, you know, continue to invest in buildings and in facilities and things like that through the city and do it little by little across the years, because if you had to do it all at once, then you probably are putting a huge burden on taxpayers.
And there's the planning is the key, right? Is like we, you talked about water and sewer rates for years, city councils and administrations delayed that because they didn't want to upset. And now we're just, now we're paying for it. We're getting the big jumps because nothing was done in the past.
Yeah.
So we're seeing these big jumps and we're the ones getting yelled at and screamed at because of these big jumps.
Yeah.
And then when we try to plan this out so there's not these big jumps in the future, we run a utility. We have to pay for that utility. Mm-hmm. It's required. There is cost to that utility. Mm-hmm. And yes.
And it's necessary. It's not optional to have clean water or working sewer.
Correct. And, and we're still, and I know some people will get mad that I say this, but we're still one of the lowest rates in the state and doesn't make the taxpayer feel any better at home when they have to pay that bill. Right. But
and you could say the same in terms of the investment into Wacona Park, for example, that over the years, probably the investment that it needed was not put in.
Correct.
Over many, many, you know, not just the last administration, but many administrations behind them, when they came into tight financial times, they just said, well, we're not going to put any money into Wacona Park. We can't do that when we're trying to fund A, B, C, and D.
Yeah.
And so it just went by the wayside. And now, you know, got to pay the bill.
Correct. And, you know,
if you want to keep it, you know, if you want to keep a facility.
I'm a taxpayer. I pay. I get that bill. the day I was sworn in, you know, we were getting the phone calls. I got my bill emailed to me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I wasn't happy about it. And there's some things we can control and some things we can't. We just have to plan things out and be conscious of the things we're doing and try to have growth, but also try not to burden the taxpayer with these big jumps. And so we're trying to do that, those kind of things.
What are the chances then of bringing in this additional $10 million, which seems to be the gap right now, right, between...
It's about $10 million.
From other sources, right? From grants, from naming rights, from all the other areas.
I think grants are going to be a little tough. We had some things, we had some opportunities that didn't quite work out for the park. We'll see. Jim's always looking, Community Development Office is always looking for ways to get grants. Mm-hmm. That aspect is taken care of. I think naming rights is going to be a big one. Mm-hmm. I think just general advertising is going to be another good one, like billboards and things like that are a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
And we're going to need some donations from the community and the businesses, and I think this community would support that between selling naming rights, between selling advertising space, and just general donations from businesses and residents who have a passion. We're looking at every angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to ask people for money, right?
Yeah.
Especially I've worked in nonprofit my whole life. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
And no, it's not.
It's necessary, and people want to donate. They just want something to donate to.
Mm-hmm.
That's special to them, and we just have to find the right people who want to put their money into that. And I think we can. I think $10 million is actually a lot of money, but it's doable. I think we can do it.
And so when do you think we will find out whether that piece of the puzzle comes together? Is that sort of aiming toward that same time period of later this year, where the plans are coming together, and then maybe also some of those big puzzle pieces of funding can come together?
Yeah, I think what we discussed last night is kind of we're going to recommend the mayor put a task force together to hopefully find some people that have the experience of raising money. Mm-hmm. And is it worth, you know, Skanska last night brought up they had somebody in the project who hired a fundraiser. And it worked out for them very well. Mm-hmm. Like, it was well worth their money. Is that something we look at? So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, we're just in the beginning stages of that. I do think we can do it. It's just how do we do it and having the right people to do it.
Mm-hmm. Specialized skill, for sure.
It's goodness gracious. Anybody who raises money
of the puzzle
will tell you it's not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Earl Persif, I want to thank you so much for being here. Our time is running short, and it's been a great conversation. Good luck with the rest of the work of the Wakona Park Restoration Committee, and of course, with everything else you're doing on the city side for on the city council.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being here, and thank you to our audience for joining us this morning. As always, have a great weekend. And I don't know if I'll talk to you again before the 4th of July parade. So if I don't, have a very happy 4th and safe as well, everybody. Have a good day. Take care.